Welcome to Hillhurst United Church, the podcast. We're really glad you're here. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, join us on the journey.
Well, folks, we didn't anticipate being back so soon, but things have taken quite a turn since last Sunday, what we have now taken to calling Palm Sunday. If you recall, we were speaking with foreign correspondent John Pentland, who was on site in Jerusalem, reporting that a donkey had been the center of the parade carrying Jesus of Nazareth. And there was quite a fuss by the warrior horse for not being chosen. It was quite a strange gathering. John, you're still there. Can you update us any further on the current situation?
Well, Andrea, it was quite a day. There were lots of palms and songs and crowd. It was a festive occasion. There was a whole gamut of animals, as you saw, and indeed, the humble donkey made a complete ass of themselves, as it was indeed chosen to be the donkey of choice to carry Jesus. Now, the tone of this week took a strange turn. There were several events along the way. On Wednesday, we are told that Jesus of Nazareth gathered people in the upper room in an undisclosed part of the city. At that time, Jesus did something incredibly outrageous. He washed the feet of the disciples. Now, it seems a bit backwards from what you would expect of a Messiah, a leader serving their disciples. Well, then again, on Thursday, they shared what would be now called the Last Supper of bread and wine. And then things got drastically dark, Andrea. We heard the news that Jesus had been killed. It was a public execution, public humiliation. He was stripped and he was beaten. He was nailed to a cross with the other bandits. You see, Jesus threatened the power of Roman domination. As you know, the government isn't fond of revolutionaries, and no one would speak to me on camera about this today to protect their hidden identity. But Jesus said he was called by God to do this work. He wanted to overturn the system. He was charged with trying to overturn Roman authority. He was against authoritarian rule and called for peace and not military control. He was advocating for the least, the lost, and the lonely, and he said, love conquers all. A strange thing he said also was the kingdom of God was at hand, not some distant reality, but right within us all. Can you imagine that God is indeed part of everyone, that divine spark? Ludicrous, really. Well, that seemed to be the last straw. They took him outside the city and crucified him. It was at the cross with his mother and a few of his fellow disciples. I did hear Jesus call out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it was an incredibly sad, remarkable moment when he called out from the cross. He called out for forgiveness. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he forgave his enemies. Finally, he surrendered, saying, it is finished. And the sky seemed to turn incredibly black. That night, people turned around bonfires and they shared stories and recalled his memory. It was a vigil of sorts.
That's startling news, John. I can only imagine the dark trauma of that Friday afternoon. But you say that this isn't the end of the story, that things got even more precarious. What happened next?
Well, this is it. Things didn't remain dark. On Sunday morning, I'm told some women went to the tomb to prepare his body, and they found that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. The huge stone rolled away. I heard people muttering to themselves, he has risen. Peace be with you. Christ is risen.
Well, it all sounds very mysterious. What do you make of these stories, John?
Well, the thing about this story is that everybody's got a different interpretation for themselves. And here's the thing, we don't have any footage of exactly what took place, so we're left with the stories and accounts of different people. There's other reporters milling around here interviewing people. Some people are calling it a hoax. Some people say that someone stole the body. Some actually said that he has risen just as he said he would. And many are retelling stories of his life, remembering back to what he had said, and they're calling him a prophet of wisdom. Some say this signifies a new beginning. Some say they have actually strangely experienced the presence of someone who has died in their own life right now. Some are saying that they're given hope to fight even more for peace and justice in the world. And some are saying that crucifixion and resurrection are part of everyone's life experience. Some are saying that this is proof of the mystery of life beyond death. And some are saying it really boils down to this: God has the last word, and it's hope. A poet who I spoke to said this: God protects us from nothing and is present in everything. God protects us from nothing and is present in everything. Another person I talked to, I believe it was a rabbi, said, religion isn't about protecting us from life's hardship. No one escapes hardship in life, but this story sustains and inspires us to have meaningful lives, to engage the world, not to retreat in despair. And a child said to me, Easter isn't a day, it's a way. Easter happens in all of us, it seems. It seems they're saying we become Easter people. It's remarkable, really. Overall, Andrea, we can be sure that everyone is saying this was a life-altering event that will be talked about for some time. So it's back to you, Andrea.
John, I have just had word that we have someone who can share their experience with us. She's reporting live from Phoenix. Suzanne, are you with us?
Good morning. My name is Suzanne, and I am a hybrid congregant here at Hillhurst United. Kind of a new term that's happened since COVID. So I spend part of my year in Calgary, and the other part of the year I spend traveling, and right now I'm in Phoenix. So a very happy Easter morning to all of you from the sunshiny Phoenix area. Wow, Easter. As a child, I remember being so excited when my mom would bring out the purple, yellow, and green woven baskets, and they were filled with that strange plastic string, because I knew that on Easter morning there would be those lovely foil eggs in there, and there would probably be a bunny to eat. And it seemed so easy and so simple as a child. And as I get older, as we all do, and we move into probably places of reflection and searching for that wisdom, I'm starting to realize that both Christmas and Easter are times of challenge for many people. We get so pumped up about the day, Christmas Day or Easter Day, that we forget often, or maybe you're afraid to go to the time before, that very heavy and difficult journey that Mary and Joseph had on their way. Maybe a sense of not belonging and no place to be. And then this past week that we call a Holy Week. And it's not an easy journey for many. For myself, the Holy Week brings up some of the most heart-wrenching moments of my life. 31 years ago, during Holy Week, my son was born. And shortly after his birth, we were told he will not survive. So in the early morning hours of Good Friday, this beautiful, beautiful little boy passed away in my arms. And it was sad. And I was mad. But then I decided I had to make a choice. I could continue to be mad and and I could continue to be sad. But that would bring no richness to my life. So instead, I decided to be grateful. Grateful that I was able to have a child. Grateful that I was able to feel those flutters early on in my pregnancy. Grateful that I was able to hold him. And grateful for that very short life. And what that time taught me was we have to push through the really tough stuff in life. We can't circumnavigate it. We can't press pause and then jump to the end. We need to push through and feel the feels. And the easiest way to do that is if we're wrapped in the love and compassion and empathy of our families, of our friends, of our church community. So as we celebrate today, this incredible day of hope and joy, please make sure that you take time to reach out to people in your community who may be feeling pain or loss or suffering, and help them push through their tough week or their tough month or their tough year, because we are all in this together. Happy Easter, everyone.
Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us with that heartbreakingly hopeful message. The events of this week have happened to remind us all that we are not alone, that God is with us through spirit and through the compassion of one another, that our call is to push through in faithfulness, that Easter will come and we will call it good news. We understand that all of this has complex and differing details, perhaps. Heartbreak continues, especially in the Holy Land. And yet, the hope of what has happened here lies in each of us. We are the ones who need to share this news. God is with us, and we are never alone. So, folks, we are saying farewell from this Easter week, 2024. As always, thanks for joining us at Hillhurst United News. You never know just how far good news can travel. Take this story with you as you journey, and go in peace.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hillhurst United Church, the podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode and are thinking about someone who might enjoy it too, we invite you to send it their way and help the podcast grow. We're really glad you're here, and we'd love to know what you thought about today's sermon. Leave us a review in iTunes or send us an email at communications@hillhurstunited.com. We'd love to hear from you.